Good afternoon, all the outdoor enthusiasts out there. This is Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls 89.9 FM. This is Amy Grisak, and my co-host Marty Bannon is off on the Arizona Trail once again, or he's continuing his trek. He is roughly a third of the way through that 800-mile stretch, and last report was experiencing quite a bit of hot weather. But thankfully for us, we have the pleasure of speaking with Lalani Upham. She is a fascinating woman, an Indigenous people's storyteller, and frankly, a woman of many, many talents. So thank you so much, Lalani, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you and I haven't met in person yet, but we've met online. So it was several months ago when I saw your post about the Biguni Bigfoot Project. And could you please tell us more about how that started and how you and Carrie got involved and what you do?
Yeah. So that channel started, the Biguni Bigfoot Storytelling Project YouTube channel started last year in January, February, I believe. And we just kind of started that. We were just doing some little, you know, videos along the way, and we decided to start collecting stories. Carrie Lynn had the experience back in 1999 of actually seeing a Bigfoot, and along with a lot of family members, and just experiences and stories around the Blackfeet Reservation, including cultural stories. So myself being a journalist, I was just really curious. I've never had any kind of experiences or anything like that. I just wanted to document stories. And I thought it was a great way to, you know, maybe share some understanding of our community and people, and also a great way to get outdoors and get outside to show viewers our beautiful country out here. And so that's kind of how it started.
Well, and it looks like you have a tremendous amount of fun when you're out. There's a lot of laughter.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Now, with the storytelling, and, you know, storytelling is so culturally important. And I guess just briefly before we delve into so many of the other things that you have going on, what does Bigfoot have to do with so many of these stories and the connection with the people?
Well, like I said, if you look at the channel, you'll notice that there are several guests in our community, and each one of their stories are different. There's not one particular philosophy of what this creature is. And so the connection is, well, there is a cultural story of and a name for him that goes way back. And it is, the name is Imoitipi. And that kind of translates into like a large, big, hairy man that lives out, you know, in the landscape. So, Imoitipi is the name. So those kind of stories go way back. So we know that there was some kind of connection with our people, and with a lot of experiences as a journalist, I just felt like this is really interesting that it doesn't matter who you are. It seems like somebody has heard something, they've seen something. And so I decided to go out and just start making videos of our adventures of looking for evidence and looking for prints and things like that. And then also allowing folks who were willing to tell their stories, and that does take a lot of bravery too. And I felt like it was just a great platform to just kind of bring our community together as well, and something fun and interesting to listen to as you see us kind of going outdoors and being outside and encouraging other people to get outside as well.
That is so true. And no, they're fascinating, and it is Biguni, but it's spelled, as most people know, P-I-K-U-N-I. So even though it is pronounced the Biguni Bigfoot Project, But Pikuni is spelled P-I-K-U-N-I. So when people, if they want to go on YouTube, you'll have a wonderful time listening to these stories. And what I love about you, Leilani, is you have that journalist heart. And so you're asking the questions and going out. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of what you do. So would you mind giving us a little bit of background of, you know, your background, and then also what are you doing lately? I know you have a lot of projects and some really exciting news, if you would care to share with us.
Yeah, thank you. So a little bit of my background is I, 2003, I was in the photojournalism program at the University of Montana. And so kind of a little bit about that. After school, I worked for the Missoulian as a photographer and the Great Falls Tribune as a photographer.
Yay.
And went into something a little bit different for a couple of years, and then came back into journalism and started working for a tribal newspaper on the Flathead Reservation, the Charcosta News. Stayed there for 10 and a half years and just gathering stories from an Indigenous community from every aspect of story coverage. It just kind of helped form more of the things that I wanted to do. And I just really feel it important as an Indigenous woman and a journalist to document our stories throughout history. These stories have been documented, but not too much by our own Indigenous people. So I just feel like a strong calling to do that. And in that journey of being a journalist, I started working at the Tribal College teaching Indigenous digital storytelling and video production. And both of these classes kind of revolve around our Native stories and our Native communities and just connecting people visually into like, you know, who we are and what the story is and staying true to the story. And so, as you know, our Native people are really connected to the landscape, to the natural world. And as I started to kind of grow more into who, identifying more into who I am, mm-hmm. and getting outdoors, that's where it just kind of like became more alive in knowing which direction I wanted to go. And that is telling stories through the natural world and bring in kind of a human connection to everybody. And I feel like this YouTube channel kind of is doing that. Like some of the followers we gotten to talk with and communicate with are from all over the world.
Oh, that's great.
And they really enjoy it. It's not like probably the best production, but people love it. And they love the fact that we're showing the landscape and we're showing the people in a real sense, that it's not reality TV. It's who we really are.
It is more genuine and deep, and it's when you watch it, it makes you feel like you're right there and part of the experience, you know, as a viewer, at least in my opinion, when I put it on. And yeah, especially the different areas that you go to, you know, and the different seasons and everything, you know, as you and I both know, every season has a different nature and different feel.
Yeah.
And it really comes through with what you do.
Well, thank you.
And you go to some absolutely gorgeous places, which is a lot of fun. So one of your current projects, too, I mean, you've done so much. Like I said, you're a woman of many talents. And I was really excited when you sent me the link this week on your project, Iron Shield Creative, where storytelling is at the heart. Now, would you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with this endeavor?
Okay, it's a smorgasbord.
It is. It really is.
It was really tough putting this together. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do everything that I love, as not just as a hobby and career, but also to make a difference in our world. And I was like, okay, you know, all these skills, these talents that I have, I want to be of service to not only my Native community, but to the world, you
yes.
know, so that people can experience who we are from a real, true sense. And So yeah, so what it is the mission of it is basically wrapped around storytelling, mm-hmm. indigenous storytelling. It is videography, photography, writing, workshops, and tribal cultural guided hikes, all wrapped up in one. So a true entrepreneur.
Yes.
You know, maybe there is somebody else out there doing all of this together. So
not around here.
And I do have a huge network of people and a lot of support, and so thankful for them and folks that are stepping in saying that if you need any help, you know, let me know. So I've got a lot of connections with which I'm really excited about, of other creatives. So that can fill in a lot of these portions of videography or photography, writing.
Well, one of the
teaching the workshops.
Oh, good, good. Well, one of the projects that you listed that you did was about the 64 flood. And that mm-hmm. had to be a powerful project to do. What was that like?
Yeah, that was kind of one of, I guess you could say that was one of my turning points.
Okay.
I started working with a team of journalists. One is the director, Ben Shores, and he grew up in Cut Bank on the border of the Blackfeet Reservation. His father worked as an attorney with the tribe when he was growing up. He now is a professor at the Washington State University in journalism. And so, long story short, he was doing some research and found that in 1964, when the flood hit here in big parts of Montana, mm-hmm. the Blackfeet Reservation was hit probably the hardest, mm-hmm. and 31 lives were lost.
Wow.
There was no national coverage. There was barely local coverage, where maybe the news got a little column here and there.
Wow.
And what he found was that the Hungry Horse News won Pulitzer Prize winning coverage of the flood.
Yes.
A lot of property and damage was done over there. However, the Blackfeet Reservation and people and community had no coverage. And he said, I feel like journalism dropped the ball.
He's so true.
On the Blackfeet community. So almost 50 years later, here we are, a crew of journalists wanting to bring this story forth. And it was pretty tough at first, because we were going into the community interviewing people that have never talked about it, because it was so traumatizing. And we found folks and we started collecting these stories. And as you know, filmmaking does take a long time, because we've got to find funding.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We would have to stop at some point and find some funding and get going again. Then we decided we were going to turn it into a longer feature film, and we had to find the actual story. So we did find that, and that's in the Blackfeet Flood, the 30-minute feature, and the rest are film shorts. And what I like about working with this project is that it is a community-driven project, and all of our interviews, whether they're on our website or edited, mm-hmm. they are housed at the Blackfeet Community College as archives, and it's given back to the community.
And so it's for the generations to come, they can understand.
Yeah.
But no, it's very true. You know, I lived over in Corum by Hungry Horse for years. And of course, it was, you know, a deep story over there. And honestly, mm-hmm. I didn't find out about the impact on the Blackfeet Reservation, the Blackfeet Nation, until just a few years ago, when, you know, living
wow.
over here in Great Falls. And it was just, oh, it's devastating. So these are important stories to tell and to keep, because they get lost. Mm-hmm. And so what are some other stories or projects that you're working on that are really exciting now?
Right now, I'm actually working on something that I haven't really announced yet,
okay.
but I can just kind of give like a brief about it. And again, it entails funding.
Okay.
But as you may know a little bit of Montana history, about the Baker's Massacre, or the Marias River Massacre.
Yes.
Where a band of Blackfeet, which was the Heavy Runner camp, was attacked in January 23rd, 1870. And it was during a time, bitter cold, like 30 below zero. It was a friendly camp and at peace with the government. And General Baker was he was drunk actually in the morning of the attack. And my great great grandfather was chief heavy runner. It was his camp, and it was a bad winter, so the guys, the warriors, were out looking for you know, some food, and only ones there were the elderly and the kids and the women, and of course they were slaughtered. And my great grandfather was one of the survivors, he and his brother, and at the time he was around 10 or 11, and the two brothers were adopted out by non-natives, and that's kind of how we got the name Upham.
Okay.
It really should have been Chief Heavy Runner went by Heavy Runner, but most of his life was, his name was Bear Chief, which is kind of lost in our community. We don't have any name by the name Bear Chief.
Okay.
And so that's how we kind of got our name. One brother was adopted by the Joseph Kipp, and the other one was by Hiram Upham.
Wow.
And so that story, as you know, January 23rd hasn't been very long ago. And I traveled over there for the first time, actually, in my life.
I thought I saw the
photos. On January 23rd. I mean, I've been there before, but not on January 23rd. And okay. I went with my family and just took some video and photos, and also had my uncle tell the story on video. So okay. I'm kind of working on that as a personal project and trying to figure out ways to get funded and carry that on.
That is excellent. Once again, it's something that should never be lost. And to have it in the video form and so close, you know, with your family, that's going to be powerful for generations to come.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the kind of the narrative of the story, I of course, the horrific portion, the trauma of what happened and through the generations and how it, you know, traumatized generations down.
Mm-hmm.
I do also want to bring back, you know, the weekend after that, I actually brought I went with my two sons and my granddaughter.
Really?
And two of my first cousins. And we all went there together as, you know, getting outdoors.
Yes.
Fishing on the Marias. We went hiking up in the Sweetgrass Hills and along the Marias River, went hiking. In my story, I wanted to bring it to, like, let's bring this landscape back to life with who we are as Pagani people.
Well, with the guided hikes that you're offering too, I mean, this is going to be a unique opportunity for everybody to be able to mm-hmm. see the landscape from a completely different perspective. So how are you going to go about that? How should people contact you and set up times and everything?
So I am just building my website. In fact, the website just went public less than a week ago. So I'm still building on it, still kind of getting it structured. The business just was licensed on March 13th of this year, so it's not very old. I'm pulling it all together.
Oh, wow.
We will have a schedule up on the website of hikes that will become available. We're actually going to talk about it today and start, you know, putting some on the calendar and then letting people know that please keep checking back, because I do have a nice array of hike guides. And so we're going to try to hopefully have a nice full calendar this summer.
Oh, that'll be great. And so people can see what distance and, you know, difficulty level and date and everything, and just coordinate with you to see what's going to work.
We will have definitely different levels. We will have different even themes. There, I'm going to throw in a couple of few of the hikes with a photography workshop and maybe another one with a writing workshop, where whoever wants to learn a little bit, or we want to share and just be kind of a collective group of like-minded people going out to the landscape, sharing kind of our craft together and talking about Indigenous stories and connecting those folks to our stories as well. So it's going to be a little different. It's going to be just a different array of guided hikes, cultural guided hikes.
Everybody is going to love it. I know you're going to be busy this summer. I can guarantee it.
So, it's just going to be nice to get paid.
I know.
I've been doing this for years, all of this.
I know.
It's like I needed to start a business to do this.
That's what you do. And so, you know, you're just building that foundation for all the years. And now this, I think this is just absolutely genius. And it's such a great opportunity for everybody. This is fun. So I would be remiss, though, since I see your photos so much, and I'm like, oh, she's out again. It's like, yes. I want to go play. So what?
Yes, come along with
yes.
me.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Sometime. Yeah. We're going to have fun one of these days. But
yeah.
What are some of your places, or where are some of your places that you love to go? Like, if you had a day that you could go anywhere, it's like asking who your favorite child is. I know that.
I know, that's unfair.
It is. But just off top of your head.
Yeah. I have to say, of course, my backyard, Glacier National Park, the Blackfeet Reservation. I just absolutely love it there. Here. And I love Yellowstone.
Oh, true.
And of course, I've fallen in love with the Sweetgrass Hills area.
Oh.
Want to go and just spend time there.
And see, that's one area I have not been, the Sweetgrass Hills, but I've heard they're just wonderful.
And you know, the photographs you've seen just lately that I posted on Instagram of the Fort Belknap Indian Reservation, the places that I hiked this past weekend are places I've seen growing up. You know, I did leave as a young woman, but just growing up, I didn't really go up there.
Okay.
And hike. So I decided we're going to do this.
Excellent.
Got some folks together, and I know Rod Benson. He's a teacher out in Hayes, and he takes people all over the res to hike, or he just goes on his own. And I've been following him and watching him go out and about on the Fort Belknap Reservation. And I'm like, hey, I grew up there, and I didn't even ever reach that peak or go where he's going.
Wow.
But part of it is, like, you don't want to go up on Three Buttes in the summer because it's full of rattlesnakes.
I know. Yeah. That is problematic.
Yeah,
it's
problematic.
It is. I'm with you.
For sure.
You know, a bear, I'm okay with any day of the week, but those rattlesnakes, no.
Right. Yeah. No.
No. So is there anything else? I guess we just have a couple more minutes left. So is there anything else that you would like to share with readers on what you're doing or what's coming up in the future?
Yeah, just to keep in touch with Iron Shield Creative website. You know, if anybody has a story out there that they need to have told, any photography, I am working on my commercial drone license, so I will be a drone pilot here soon.
Cool.
And so any kind of services like that, please look at the website to see how we can help craft your story.
Excellent. So anybody who has anything they need, go to ironshieldcreative.com and just talk to Leilani and she'll help you out. Well, thank you so much. We could have gone on for way longer. And I know when we hike this year, we're going to have a lot of fun. And we'll talking a lot.
For sure. We'll have you a guest on our channel.
Oh, that'll be
so much fun.
Oh, this will be great. So, well,
yeah.
Thank you again. Well, once again, this is Amy Grisak with Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls. And have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you, Leilani.
Thank you.